The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 1, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 16th, 2008, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So we are very happy to be back here again at home with all of you here in Sofia, Bulgaria. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, Knowledge of the Absolute. Text number 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Mai.
Asaktamana
Partha
Yogam
Yujan
Mat Ashraya Asamshayam Samagram Mam Yata Jagasi Tat Shrinu Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Sakta Manaparta
Yogam Yunjan
Madashraya Asangshayam Samagrang Mang Yatag Jagyashi Tachchinu Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Sakta Manaparta Yogam Yujan Madashraya Asangshayam Samagrang Mang Yata Jagyasi Tachchinu Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Lord said,
Mai
to me,
Asaktamana,
mind attached,
Parta,
O Sanaprita,
Yogam,
self-realization.
Yunjan,
practicing
Mat Ashraya,
in consciousness of me,
Krishna consciousness,
Asangshayam,
without doubt.
It's the Bulgarian, yeah. Samagram,
completely.
Mam,
me,
yata,
how,
gyashyasi,
you can know,
tat,
that,
shrinu,
try to hear.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
Now hear, O Sanaprita, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Purport. in this seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. Krishna is full in all opulences, and how he manifests such opulences is described herein. Also, four kinds of fortunate people who become attached to Krishna and four kinds of unfortunate people who never take to Krishna are described in this chapter. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yogas. At the end of the sixth chapter, it has been clearly stated that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahmajyoti, or localized Paramatma realization, is not perfect knowledge of the absolute truth because it is partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna. And everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. In complete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is ultimate knowledge beyond any doubts. Different types of yoga are only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahmajyoti and Paramatma in full. By practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, the living entities, the material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. One should therefore begin yoga practice as directed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in nine different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, touch Trinu, or hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna, and therefore by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna-conscious person. One has therefore to learn from Krishna directly, or from a person, from a pure devotee of Krishna, and not from a non-devotee upstart puffed up with academic education. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto as follows. Shrindvatang svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantaksto hyabhyadrani virunoti suhritsatam Nashta praeshva badreshu nityang bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki tadara jastano tamo bhava kamalo bhada yashchaye cheta etairana vidhang stittang satpe prasidati evaṁ prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijñānam mukta saṅgaśya jāyate vidyate hridaya grantish chidyante sarva saṅśayāḥ chayante chasya karmāni drishta evatmanīśvare. To hear about Krishna from Vedic literatures, or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita, is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as a best wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus material lusts and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of God perfectly. Thus, bhakti yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of asangshayam samagram, understanding of the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 2, texts 17 through 21. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or from his pure devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the science of Krishna. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, what is the point? The point is to be Krishna conscious. If you're not Krishna conscious, you're missing the point. The point of human existence is to become Krishna conscious. If you are not cultivating Krishna consciousness, you are cultivating animal consciousness. And if you cultivate animal consciousness, you will become animal in your next birth. So it's up to you. It's a free choice. Do you want to become animal? Or you want to become liberated from birth and death? The power is in your hands. You hold the key to eternity, knowledge and bliss in your very hands. Will you use it to unlock the door and enter into the spiritual world? Or will you whimsically throw it away for so-called merrymaking? The choice is yours. You can do whatever you like. But I have to inform you at one point. Everything you do is witnessed. There are higher authorities who see everything that you're doing. It's not that we can hide somewhere and do sinful life and no one will know. Prabhupada explained in Vrindavan that Yamaraj has book. Yamaraj is noting down every sinful activity that you do. Everyone is being carefully noted by Yamaraj. And at the time of death, if you're, you see, the Yamadutas, they don't go whimsically. They go according to the documentation of Yamaraj. If you are documented in Yamaraj's book, you will have a little visit at the time of death. The Yamadutas will come. They will say, okay, we've come to take you now for punishment. You can't say, but.
No.
They grab you and that's it. You may be screaming and hollering every step of the way, but they take you to Yamaraj. So therefore, you want to be in Krishna's book, not in Yamaraj's book. And Krishna is very kind if you become his devotee. There's a fancy English word, exoneration. It means, exonerate means, exoneration means that your record is completely cleaned of all of your past crimes. If you be surrendered, if you fully surrender to Krishna, you become fully exonerated or fully cleaned. Your record becomes completely cleaned. Even if you committed the most abominable action, you see. Yani kani cha papani brahmahita, killing a Brahmin. Oh, murdering a Brahmin. Even if you murdered a Brahmin, if you surrendered to Krishna, then everything will be clean from your record. But don't try to commit sins on the strength of chanting. That I will murder a Brahmin and then I will circumambulate Tulsi. Doesn't work like that. If you do something on purpose like that, thinking that I will take advantage of the Shastric injunctions and become liberated, such cheating will not be effective. Just like one devotee, he told me, he said, I read a verse in the scripture that if your body is cremated with Tulsi wood, you're guaranteed to go to Vaikuntha. So I can do all sinful activity. I would just keep some Tulsi wood handy for my cremation, then I'm saved. I don't know if that's a bona fide verse, Shastric injunction or not, but even if it were a bona fide Shastric injunction, this devotee, he's trying to cheat the scriptures, you see. He's trying to find a way to go back to Godhead without surrendering, you see. He's trying to outsmart the Shastras. Prabhupada calls that over-intelligent. But Krishna is the supreme cheater. If you try to treat Krishna by saying, all right, I will do all sin, but I will just keep the tulsi wood for my cremation fire. Krishna is the supreme cheater. You may all sin thinking, yes, my body will be cremated with the tulsi wood. I don't have to worry about all the sins I'm doing every day. So what will happen at the time of death? He'll be thinking, I have no problem, my cremation wood is ready. He instructed all the devotees, make sure to cremate me with that tulsi wood I have in my house. So the devotee, he leaves his body and they go forget that tulsi wood so he can be guaranteed to go Vaikuntha. And when they get to his house, what do they find? Some thief came and he stole the tulsi wood. So don't try to cheat on these special injunctions in the scriptures. Don't try to figure out some way that you can go back to Godhead without surrendering. By taking advantage of a Shastric injunction. He also quoted me another verse saying that if you die within so many miles of a Shalagram Shila, you're automatically liberated. He was arguing to me that I can give up my guru. I can renounce my spiritual master because I don't think he's taking good care of me, so I give him up. But I still go back to Godhead because I'm going to have my body cremated with tulsi. But that was his argument. Can you imagine? He was arguing, I will renounce my guru. He is a bona fide guru. I will give him up, but I will still get liberated. That was his thinking, you see. So crazy. But luckily, he went and talked with some devotee. And that devotee straightened him out. So then he apologized to his guru. I'm sorry I rejected you. Please take me back. So the point is, don't try to cheat using the scripture as some cheating method. One has to actually understand what Krishna wants. And actually do what Krishna wants. Shakespeare has one saying, devil cites scripture. Cites, you know, cites, recites, to yes. Speak. So this boy, he was citing scripture. He was saying, I reject guru, and I was quoting scripture, I will get saved. You see? You cannot do that. You cannot, in the name of scripture, give up your guru. Because the scripture says you have to take Sharam Guru. Yasha Prashadat Bhagavat Prashado, Yasha Prashadat Nagati Kutopi. We sing every morning. It's only by the mercy of Guru that one can make advancement. And without His grace, where are you? You are nowhere without His grace. I know that. I certainly know that's true about me. Without Prabhupada, I am nowhere, I am nothing. Somehow by His grace, I'm carrying on with these activities, traveling and preaching all over the world. By Prabhupada's grace. It is not my Shakti, it is Prabhupada's Shakti. So, if we can understand in full what is Krishna consciousness, and put that understanding into practical shape, if we can mold our life around Krishna, then we become perfect. You have to make a conscious endeavor to be Krishna conscious. You have to decide, I want to be Krishna conscious. The purpose of my life is to become a pure devotee. You have to make that determination. That the purpose of my existence is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. And you have, and Maya is going to keep trying to throw you off of that. She's saying, yes, but my dear boy, my dear girl, that's a very nice ideal, but it's not really practical for you in this lifetime. That's Maya. It is practical for you. Each and every one of you can become a pure devotee. You simply have to not let Maya convince you that you cannot. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langyate giram yat kripa tamahang vande shi guru dina taranam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man can deliver eloquent speeches, a lame man can cross over the mountain. So by the grace of my... So by the grace of Guru, even the most unqualified tamaguni, he can become pure devotee of Krishna. The most abominable, horrible, wretched tamaguni, a complete servant of his senses, Shigai Madai, he can become a pure devotee. So therefore we should make our determination. Let my dear spiritual master please bless me that I can become a pure devotee of Krishna. My dear Srila Prabhupada, please bless me, I can become a pure devotee of Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, please bless me that I can become your pure devotee. In this way, every day, begging for pure bhakti. Can you beg? It is not difficult. You simply have to beg. Actually, we're in a line of beggars, you know that. Our Srila Prabhupada, he described himself as the most insignificant beggar. Of course, we don't think Prabhupada is a beggar. We don't think the predecessor Acharya, they are beggar. We think they are great masters. They are great masters. But what they feel about themselves is, I am beggar. So we have to become like beggars. Every day begging Krishna, begging our spiritual master, begging Srila Prabhupada for their mercy, that we can become the pure devotees of Krishna. Do you think you can control your senses by your own power? If you think like that, I guarantee you, you'll become overpowered by Maya again and again and again. But when you feel helpless, that I have no hope except the mercy of Guru and Param Guru and Krishna, and you beg and you plead for their mercy, then you become a true Goswami. So, it's up to you. Do you want to get humble and beg? Or do you want to proudly think, I am a great devotee? It's your choice. If you think, I'm a great devotee, Maya will smash you again and again and again. You will slip again and again. And again and again and again and again. But if you humbly beg, my dear Guru, my dear Srila Prabhupada, my dear Lord Krishna, please save me from my wretched condition. Then you'll be amazed at how you're able to conquer over the material nature. Maya will not faze you anymore. She will not be able to touch you anymore. You become impervious to Maya. Impervious means she can't get into your heart. Impervious means you cannot be penetrated. Impervious, impenetrable. You will have a Maya-proof heart. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
How can we achieve this strong determination, this strong enthusiasm to serve the spiritual master?
Just think of how dedicated Srila Prabhupada is to serving Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Just consider what Prabhupada went through to try to start this movement. He suffered 2 heart attacks on the boat.
Да, 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 да,
Can you imagine a man suffering a 70-year-old body, two heart attacks, and only 40 rupees to his name? Going to a foreign country where he doesn't know anybody, where everything is very expensive, how would he even physically survive? What to speak of starting a movement? So just meditate on how determined Srila Prabhupada was to serve the order of his spiritual master, even if it meant he would die in some strange foreign place. If you meditate on Prabhupada and pray for his mercy that you can become a determined servant of your spiritual master, then Prabhupada will bless you. Next question. Yes, Kripa Siddha.
Is it true that in order to get the mercy of Krishna, we first should receive the mercy of Srimati Radharani?
Yes. And to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani, you must get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you must get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you must approach Jagai and Madai. You must preach to the Jagais and Madais of Bulgaria to give them Krishna consciousness. You can ask them, do you know who is Krishna? And they say, no, my dear boy, I do not know who is Krishna. You tell me who is Krishna. And you can tell them, my dear sir, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you should surrender to him. So in this way, if you approach the Jagais and Madais of Bulgaria, or anywhere in the world, it doesn't matter, then you will get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and you will get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and you will get the mercy of Srimati Radharani, and you will get the mercy of Krishna. So now you must preach to the world. You must give these people Krishna consciousness. They are dying without Krishna consciousness. You must save them. Next question. Some people would say, but he's too young. But that's not true. At what age did Prahlad Maharaj take sannyas? He was a little tiny boy. I mean to say, Narad Muni. Prahlad didn't take sannyas, giving up his household. His household gave him up. I was thinking of Narad Muni. Actually, his mother also was killed by the snake. His mother also died, so he was forced to take sannyas. He didn't think, let me go to an orphanage or something. Narada Muni is a small boy, he took sannyas. Now, I'm not telling you to leave your parents and take sannyas. But I want you to be in the mood of a sannyasi. Completely dedicated to saving the people of Bulgaria from the cycle of birth and death. Next question. Yes, Naradi.
Preaching itself purifies, but to which degree we should be purified in order to preach?
Yes, apani achari prabhuji veri sikaya. One must first practice and then preach. If you yourself are breaking the principles, then what good is your preaching? You are a hypocrite. So those who are qualified to preach are those who are actually purely following the process. Those who are having difficulty in following the principles, they should serve those who are purely following the principles. Not that we reject someone, well, you know, if you can't follow all the principles, you're not welcome to be a part of our movement. No, we don't say that. That would be like a hospital saying, unless you're healthy, you're not willing to come, you're not welcome to come here. Hospital means it's full of sick people. So ISKCON is like a hospital. All the sick people can come and they can recover here. But you must be recovering. You must give up the sinful activities. Therefore, we have strict rules and regulations. In this hospital, we don't allow any meat, fish, or eggs. No intoxication, no liquor, no caffeine, no cigarettes, no marijuana, no LSD, no ecstasy pills, no heroin. No psilocybin. 60s, everyone knows psilocybin. All of these things are banned, you see. Something like LSD. No illicit sex. That means all form of sexual stimulation outside of producing Krishna conscious children. Any heterosex which is not for procreation, that is illicit. Heterosex between man and a woman, you see. That is any heterosex between man and woman that is not for producing a child, that is illicit and must be stopped. Any homosex between the same sex, like gays and lesbians. That is all illicit because that cannot produce a child. Also masturbation, you see. Sometimes men and women, they masturbate. That does not produce a child, therefore that is also illicit sex. All forms of illicit sex are given up. Someone might say, but how can I give it up? I'm addicted. I tried to give it up, but I keep falling again and again and again. It's hopeless. I'll never be able to give it up. But you know what that's like? That's like a little child who says, I'll never be able to walk. Because every time I try to walk, I fall down and I'm embarrassed. So I will just crawl the rest of my life. Can you imagine a 30-year-old man coming into the office at his job, crawling in, and they say, well, Joe, why are you crawling to work? Why don't you walk like everybody else? He says, well, I never learned. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? So the same thing. Joe, why are you having illicit sex? Don't you know everybody here practices celibacy? And Joe says, well, I never learned. If you can learn how to walk, you can learn how to be celibate. That's my point. If you're anybody who's determined to be celibate, I can train you how to be celibate. Strictly celibate. It's not difficult. Vishaya vinivartante nirahara shidehina rasavarjang rasopyasha parang vishvanivartate. In the minds of those, let's see, what is that? Not that verse, let's see. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment. Though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste. He is fixed in consciousness. So, if you want to get the higher taste, we are prepared to teach you how to get the higher taste. That's all. Where you can walk away from all forms of illicit sex and not miss them. All forms of intoxication be given up. And you may be thinking, oh, I wish I could have a nice drink of wine tonight. We can train you how to give up all of these tastes. By learning how to dive deeply, deeply, deeply into the sweet, nectarian, rasa-like ocean of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Any other questions? All right.
Просто аз имах някакъв въпрос, ама сега във връзка с това последното сети. Бхакти Тирта Махарадж казва, и в лекции го казва, но специално го има като хора, това няма място спомням, той казва, че се получава един такъв междинен период, нали, от момента, в който решиш да изоставиш нишите вкусове, и до момента, до който изпиташ висшия вкус, между тези два периода има един междинен период. Той много често го нарича тъмна нощ за душата. И през този период няма нито ниш вкус, нито висш вкус. В смисъл, ти се въздържаш от нишия вкус, а пък нямаш висш вкус. Той каза, че единственото лекарство за този период е интензивното общуване което те държи в лично съзнание. В смисъл някакси нещо, което на системи да получаваш виш курс. Ти нямаш твой си виш курс, обаче получаваш някой друг виш курс, като общуваш с него. И как да придобиваме този виш курс в този момент, при положение, че няма такова общуване, което да ни държи на самото си живо.
Ще може ли да си интересирам по някакъв начин, а после не искаш ти,
не, не кажи,
ти да си проведеш целия, както
аз си сега ще бъде.
They want me to translate my question.
What is it?
They want me to translate my question. So the question is, Bhakti Maharaj often says that there is an intermediate stage when we don't feel neither lower taste, neither higher taste. We're in the middle.
All right.
So he calls it the dark night for the soul.
Okay.
And he says that, I believe that several times he says that the only solution in this period is that we have a very healthy, enthusiastic association, which keeps us on the track. And
Yes.
Just like,
okay,
you know, like we're having pills with higher taste. It's not our
so own. You've given up the material world, but you've not fully situated in the spiritual world. It's yes. Kind of like, yeah, I understand.
So, where can we get this enthusiasm if we don't have proper, healthy, enthusiastic association?
Well, you just have to. You have to just associate constantly. That's all.
If we don't,
association is there, available for you. You just have to take it. You know, there are two types of association. There's Vapu and Vani. Vapu is a physical presence, like here. Somebody's having so much Vapu, Vaishnava, Vapu Sangha. In this room, it's a whole room full of Vaishnavas. See, this is Vapu, Vaishnava Sangha. But there's another type, and that is called Vani Vaishnava Sangha. So Prabhupada explained that Vani Sangha, it is more powerful than the Vapu. So if you're lacking in association, that means you're being dull-headed. You're thinking only that Vapu Sangha is Sangha. You're not realizing that Vani Sangha is more potent Sangha than Vapu Sangha. That is your dull-headedness.
So, what if we don't? You know, because it's still...
Huh?
Maharaj govori za opštuvanetu, za to, če ima dva vida opštuvane, Vapu i Vani, i če Vani je po-važno.
I če nemaš opust kom Vani, to označava, če prosto si толкова тъпча, може да разбереш, че едното е толкова силно колкото и другото, и дори по-силно от него. Просто си тъп, че не може да го приемеш.
So, you have, don't be dull-headed, Prabhupada always said.
So, but,
your problem is dull-headed.
Yeah. So, yeah. But the point is, because, you know, you still have those, I mean, not you.
Huh?
I don't mean you. Because people like me, we still have lower taste. Lower taste is...
You have to increase your Vani Vaishnava Sangha, that's all.
But that's also a level of higher taste, to have taste for Vani.
Taste
Vani.
Or no taste, you have to do it out of duty, that's all. You have to dive more deeply into the instructions of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas, the instruction, the Vaishnava Vani, you see. Guru Vani and Vaishnava Vani. You're not getting, just like if you say, well, why am I,
Why is my body shriveling up and dying? I'm eating every day.
Guru Vani и Вайшнава Вани, така, когато казвате защо моето тяло е слабо, аз ям всеки ден.
You go to the doctor and you say, my dear doctor, I'm dying of starvation. What's the problem? I'm eating every day.
Вие отивате при доктор и казвате, скъпи докторе, аз умирам от глад, обаче аз ям всеки ден, какъв е проблема?
And the doctor asks you, what are you eating then? What is your diet? My dear doctor, every day I eat one grape. He says, no wonder you're dying of starvation. You're only eating one grape. You must have a whole bunch of grapes, a banana, an orange, an apple, some cereal, some bread, some vegetables, some milk. You must have full diet. So, if you're not getting life, it means you're not taking enough vani seva, vani sangha. You're only eating one grape. That's not enough to sustain you. You must take more vani sangha by reading books, by listening to recorded lectures, by attending programs the devotees are giving here regularly. Just like on the TV, on Skype call, you were there for one class, and maybe you were at work, I don't know, but I didn't see you after the, for those programs at the, Kuri, on the Skype lecture. I didn't see you there for the lectures. You came once or twice, and that was it. After that, I never saw you. Were you working?
Yeah, I'm working.
You're working then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So do you have an iPod so you can listen to lectures constantly when you're you do?
I don't have lectures though, but you promised that this time you come.
You don't have lectures?
I don't have lectures. You promised that you will provide me some lectures.
I'll give you as many lectures as you can. I'll give you so many lectures you can't finish them up. You need to be fully absorbed, like Brahmachari, you know. He has no business except hearing and chanting all day long. Therefore, Brahmachari life is ideal. So, house loader, he has to take lesson from Brahmachari, how to live as a Brahmachari in the association of wife. And in the association of job also, you see.
He said that a family person should learn from Brahmachari how to associate with his wife.
Yes, yeah, actually the husband should be in the mood of Brahmachari. You should not see the wife as some object of sense enjoyment. But he should not call her mother. But still, he has to be in the mood of serving. Prabhupada said the husband should call the wife Devi. He said that in Los Angeles. Very few devotees practice that, but Prabhupada gave that instruction in Los Angeles. She's the wife, she is goddess. She should be given all respect as goddess. Any other questions? Yeah.
Отскоро сега са влезнали науката за лично съзнание. И аз винаги се стряскам, когато някой ми казва нещо, което летвата, която трябва да прескочи, е толкова висока, че моето съзнание не може да приеме как мога да го направя без тренировки. Просто и затова моето съзнание и голяма част от съзнанието на хората е така наистина да се опитва да минат отдолу под летвата. Защото тя е толкова високо, че поне за моето съзнание. Какво да правим един?
Now the Guru Prabhu said he has problems with the level is too high, the level of
the standard
is too high. How can we?
Yes, I have the answer. One brick at a time. In other words, if I say, okay, my dear Narada Muni, now I want you to build the city of Rome. So Gurudev, it's impossible. How can I ever build the city of Rome? How can I ever do it? It's impossible. It's a huge city. The ancient Roman city is. It's the world capital. Huge building, and you want me to build? I can't even do it. I won't even try. Just, no, it's very simple. You just put one brick down, then put another brick. That's all you have to do. One brick at a time. At every minute you can serve Krishna or Maya. Who will you serve? Will I chant Hare Krishna or will I do some nonsense? You may say, but I'm so addicted to nonsense, how can I ever give it? No, just take it one. My mother, she told me, was a young boy, she said, son, just take life one step at a time. Don't think it's impossible. I can never give up nonsense. No, don't think. Just, let me just deal with this present moment right now. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said like that. Forget the past that sleeps. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, forget the past that sleeps. And don't ever dream and ne'er the future dream at all. Don't ever dream about the future. Just, he says, act in times that are with thee. In other words, just act in the present moment. And progress thee, this is old time English, and progress thee shall call. In other words, and you will make progress. So all you have to do is take it one step at a time. At this very moment, will I do some nonsense or will I chant? Will I do Krishna consciousness? At this moment right now. I mean, I can smoke a cigarette, I could drink some liquor, I could do all kinds of nonsense, or I could just chant Hare Krishna. At this very moment, what will I do? What will be my choice at this very minute? And then if you simply can do it one step at a time, then soon you will see the big city of Rome is built all around you. Any other questions?
Каза, нали, да четем и да слушаме лекции. Аз живея в един Мойси Искон. Искон, който е той Искон на Прабхупада, че сте 70-те години, когато всички са живели Кришна съзнание на до края. И се опитвам да се абстрахирам от реалността в момента, която, честно казано, на мен държи много Кришна съзнание. Обаче пък от друга страна, това, което сам Кришна се казва, да не мислиме за миналото и да не, мечтаем за бъдещето. А това настояще, нали, някой беше казал специално от българските бати, че всеки си е за себе си и че не можеш да решиш на никой. В смисъл, всеки си е за себе си, ние сме индивидуалности. Ние си летиме, особено в България, си летиме на собствен самолет. Така че тази реалност на мен ми е малко... В смисъл, не ми е хищен да си изръч, не е малко хищен да си изръч. Какъв би бил съвет?
Пундарика
Демини Прабу
said...
From the what?
Пундарика
said...
Пундарика
Okay.
said... he is living in his own iskon in the 50s or
60s.
What is it?
Yes. He is living in his own iskon in the first days. And
who's leading?
He is living in his own iskon.
He's living?
Yes, in his own iskon.
Yeah?
In the 60s. And it is difficult for him to accept the present.
Well, you don't know the troubles we had in the old days. You're just reading the nice, you know, but you don't realize the hell we went through in the old days. In other words, you're not following Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, forget the past.
Can I translate my question? Well, the point was that you instructed me in your previous answer to me. You instructed me that I read more books and I listen to more lectures. So by doing that, I used to live in this iskon of when Prabhupada was present and the first days when everyone was so engaged in Krishna consciousness and they were spending their energy within the society. But right now you instructed Narada Muni, so that we should not dream about the past, think about the past that sleeps and dream about the future. But this present moment right now is, someone said for Bulgaria that we are all living on our own and we can't live like a society, we're on our own here. So it's not very enthusiastic, so it's very hard to live in reality when we...
Okay, what's the question?
What would you suggest? What would you instruct? Mm-hmm.
The thing is that there's always been difficulties. We shouldn't think, back when Prabhupada was here, it was, you know, ISKCON was just like a piece of cheesecake, you know. And now it's, you know, some dried up chapati. It was difficult in those days also. Actually, my godbrother, Rabindranath Prabhu, he happened to, you know, you can look in the letter books and see all the wonderful letters that Prabhupada wrote. It's so enlivening to see the letters that Prabhupada wrote. But he got to look at all the letters that Prabhupada had received. He saw a collection of the letters that Prabhupada had received, and all the stuff that was going on was horrible.
Тези писна, които Прабхупада е получил,
Prabhupada had to deal with it. And I know a lot of there was a lot of horrible stuff going on. But Prabhupada had to handle that in a very transcendental way and keep the movement going on. So he was expert at doing that, it's a fact. So now it's up to us, the followers of Prabhupada, to also become expert. At dealing with the difficulties that are going on. There were horrible difficulties in those days. But Prabhupada was able to deal with them transcendentally. So, we have to do the same thing. We have to, in a very Krishna-conscious, sober, dedicated, determined way, we have to deal with whatever difficulties are coming. And there are many, there are difficulties then, there are difficulties now. As long as you're in this material world, there will be difficulties. Generally, the histories of those days gloss over the difficulties. They don't write about the nitty-gritty, the horrible things that went on, you know. Like some, you know, devotee had an affair with someone else's wife, and the other devotee murdered, shot him dead as punishment. You know, things like that aren't written in this kind of history. That happened when Prabhupada was here. In the Los Angeles community. I mean, there was all kinds of horrible... We heard these things. They weren't written in the histories. But all kinds of horrible things happened. But Prabhupada was able to handle everything and keep the movement progressing more and more in wonderful, wonderful ways. So we have to do the same thing. Whatever difficulties are here, we have to handle them very expertly and keep the movement progressing. Forgetting the past doesn't mean you can't read the Bhagavatam, which is talking about the past. It obviously doesn't mean that. Bhaktivinoda Thakura was not telling you to avoid the Bhagavatam because it talked about what happened 5,000 years ago. That means your own personal progress. Don't limit yourself by your own past bad habits. That's what Bhaktivinoda means. That in the past I could not get up for Mangalarti. So therefore I can't get up for Mangalarti now either because I couldn't get up for it in the past. When he says forget the past that sleeps, he's talking about things like that. Before you slept through Mangalarti, so now I must continue to sleep through Mangalarti. That's what he means. Not forget, not don't study the history of ISKCON or the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Not from that episode. Okay. So we'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad, I mean to say, Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai. Jai.